And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me. And he divided his living between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took his journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in loose living. And when he had spent everything, a great famine arose in that country, and he began to be in want. So he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have fed on the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but while he was yet at a distance, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what this meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, lo, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This is the word of our Lord. Every character of the story has an importance for us, speaking either to us or even for us. Father, forgive me. Give me the share of property that falls to me. The prodigal son, prodigal, that is wasteful, spendthriftish, recklessly extravagant. Put that way, it doesn't sound quite so bad to be extravagant. It's not quite so odious as one might think. But we do need, in the first place, to look at this prodigal, this errand son, this us. The story is about us, of humankind, all of us. In the confession offered in the rite of individual confession and absolution in our hymnal, we speak these words, I have lived as if God did not matter and as if I mattered most. This describes the prodigal. It describes us, coram Deo, before God, or as it says over and over here, before you to the Father. I have sinned against heaven and before you. That describes us. And we can recognize ourselves in this son. Even on our best days, that's us. Even in our best desires and intentions, that's us. You see, in the first place, the prodigal sought freedom, and that's big with us too, attempt to be free from obligations, from serving others, from fulfilling obligations of any kind. Even worse, it's an attempt to be autonomous, that is self-lawed, that we live by our own laws instead of those of God. But it's all illusory. It's a trick. To be in service to us is offensive. But to be in service, what kind of freedom is there without a sense of service, of purpose? That's not freedom. The prodigal son also sought a kind of self-understanding, perhaps. The prodigal's way into the far country was this attempt to have a self-understanding without the father, to live under his own law. But the prodigal is not, as he thought, a self-resting existence. His self is his existence as a child. That defines his existence. That is who he is. He is a child of that father. This existence does not become free by detaching itself from sonship. The alternative to sonship is slavery. The alternate to sonship is servanthood. St. Paul had described that. It, that is, our existence, becomes free when it leads to adult sonship. That's when it becomes free. As Paul says to the Galatians, but when the fullness of time God came, God sent forth his son, that he might receive the adoption of sons, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. You're either a son, a daughter, or you're a slave. Those are the alternatives. And the man who thought that he had become free and was no longer son, that's right. He was now a slave. And he returns to offer himself in slavery to his father. But you notice he didn't get to get those words out at the end when he repeated them for his father. His father interrupted and said, come, let us kill the fatted calf. There's servanthood to the father, but in actual fact, that servanthood is in being adult sons and daughters now. And what about the father? The father, of course, here is God. And there, Humotilike does us a great service. He renames the parable, and he gives it its proper focus. He focuses away from us and the law to the gospel and God. He titles it The Waiting Father. It says everything about the nature of the father, this father. He is waiting for the return of the son, a remarkable name itself. You see, when men declare him righteous who is righteous, that's what we do. We spot a righteous man and we say, he's righteous, but God does something different. God calls the sinner righteous and only the sinner. That the prodigal son in the parable is nearer his father than the elder brother, that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just men, that the laborers in the vineyard who wrought but 1 hour receive full pay, that the thief on the cross is saved, that the first are last and the last first, that Jesus calls sinners and eats with sinners. This is the miracle of divine mercy, so offensive to a rational system. But that is the nature of the waiting father. And we must not overlook that older brother. If ever there was a case where there was injustice, an unfairness, or at least doubt of unfairness and injustice, this man speaks it. This isn't fair, Father. And the father says, there's mercy enough for you too, and gracious enough. And you've lived here the whole time. He wants to redirect the man, and he wants to redirect his attention to the joy over the brother who has been saved. But above all, there is Jesus in the story. Where's Jesus? Of course, he's telling the story. As Martin Franzmann once said, if you can't hear the gospel, remember who's telling the parable. Christ, too, went into a far country, but for a different purpose, not to be separated from his father, but to do his father's will. not to be free, but to expend himself, not to avoid service, but to serve, not to find himself, but to find us. And so he has, and so here we are. We have been found, not as slaves, but as adult children, in service to the Father indeed, but a service that is rejoicing, rejoicing over those who have been found like us and are now his. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.